Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Hey, stay standing for a minute. Passionate. I love our church. I love our church. People will sometimes ask why we do what we do. Why do you do this? Why this? Why give your life to this thing, to ministry, to building the church, to all of that? And honestly, the reason that I do, my why is because I figure I got 100 years, 120 years on this planet. So I figure if I have 120 years compared to eternity, I have this much time to affect eternity. So if I only have this much time, I want to be a part of the greatest thing in the entire world. And there's nothing like the house of God. There is nothing like it. That's why they're standing on their chairs, because they get it. They get it. Come on. Let's get our passion for the house of God back. Come on. This is none other than the house of God and the gate of heaven, where the impossible becomes possible. This is it. Come on. If there's anything worth getting excited about, it's this thing right here. Come on, God. We thank you for what you're about to do. Show up and change us tonight. Jesus' name. Come on. Hey, before we get going, I want us to pray for a few people. And if you could just stay standing for a minute. You're going to sit for a little bit and then stand for a little bit longer. So you're good for it, right? And you're going to sleep all night. So you're good. Brandon, where's Brandon at? Yeah. Hey, come out here. Come up here. Come up here, because I want people to see how ridiculously cool looking you are. Like, it's one of those almost disgusting things, because he's just so good at everything. You know those people? Anyways, yeah. No. I want to tell you something. I was here at My City Youth 2 weeks ago on a Friday night. And I have to tell you first that God is really and truly up to something with the teenagers of this county and around this city. And at the end, we're doing an altar call. You know that time where you gotta raise your hand and say a prayer and all that. Well, we did it differently. Everybody stood, and then I asked people who wanted to make a commitment to follow Jesus again to just walk forward. And you have to understand, in a place of teenagers, that's crazy difficult. Because it's not a lot of cheering and applause when you're a teenager. It's because insecurity is everywhere. And so everybody wants to keep you from standing out. And so in that atmosphere, gave that opportunity, and nobody moved. When you're a preacher, that's one of the most awkward moments ever. Just so you know. When you're like giving everything, thinking that man, everybody's going to respond, and nobody does. Crazy times, right? And I just felt like God said, just wait. So you can ask the team. We stood in silence for like a minute, 2 minutes. Stood in silence. And I haven't done that before, but I knew that God was trying to do something. And then after about 2 minutes of complete silence, this guy steps forward. He steps forward and came to the front, right here. And the most beautiful thing, and I told the team this, and I wasn't lying at all or just making you feel good, but it was one of the most powerful altar calls I've ever experienced. I got on the altar call, and I was preaching. But let me tell you why. He came forward, and then what happened after that was something amazing. Person after person after person after person after person. I'm not just saying one of those fake, like you just made me feel good altar calls. No, it wasn't that at all. It was one of those, I'm broken in Jesus, I desperately need you altar calls. By the time we were done, the entire altar was filled with teenagers and myself giving our life back to Jesus again because of one man leading the way. One man leading the way. So, just want you to know how proud we are of you. Gifts are one thing, right? But one thing I know is that God actually is not impressed with my gift because he gave it to me. What he is impressed with is my obedience because he didn't give that to me. And God was impressed, not because of your gifts, he was impressed because of your obedience. And God is going to use you. Just lift your hands. Lift your hands. Come on, stretch your hands out. I'm telling you right now, God is up to something. There's going to be a revival that's going to happen in the lives of our teenagers. It's going to be our teenagers dragging their parents to church. It's going to be our teenagers leading our country. It's going to be our teenagers standing, turning the hearts of people back to Jesus. That's the time we're stepping into. God, I thank you. It's because of men like this, God, that we're going to see a change in the United States of America and a change around the world. God, I thank you that we'd be obedience that people would look for. So in the mighty name of God, I thank you that the same spirit that's on the inside of this mighty man of God would be in every teenager, every young adult, and every adult in this nation. God, that they would catch something tonight. God, let us not fall asleep. Let us not just go away, but God, let us rise up and take our place as influencers for the kingdom of God right now in Jesus' mighty name. Jesus' name, power of God, fall on this man, on every teenager, on every youth leader, on every young adult leader. God, right now, let it be, let this be the time where everything changes, the time where the name of Jesus is glorified in our school system, in our colleges, in our workplaces, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, give God a shout. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, you can take your seat now. Powerful moments when it's the best moments. All right, so we're going to have fun for the next 33 minutes. I'm so privileged to be here. I actually do believe that this service is probably one of, if not the most, pumping of our 5 p.m.s happening. Like, I bet no one's standing on their chairs at Central right now. I mean, listen, I'm just kidding. But I believe no matter how you walked in here, you're going to walk out of here different. You're going to walk out of here different. There's such a great community and family atmosphere environment here at this campus. That's because of your freaking incredible campus pastors, Pastor Drew and Emma. Changing the game. Changing the game for what it means to pastor. They're just so fun. Incredible, gifted, funny, annoyingly funny. I mean, yeah. Yeah, you should be sorry. Okay, all right. Hey, stay with me. You cool with that? You stay with me. We're gonna move fast. We're gonna see God move. We're in a series right now, The Weekend That Changed Everything, or The Weekend That Changed the World. Sorry, I'm really messing this up. So that's the series we're in. And to be honest, there's not a series really that excites me more than this series right now. Because I believe that my life here on earth is to just let God work through me so that we can change the world. So that we can get people to see, man, what I see, what I feel when I stepped into this church. My mission is so that you can see that as well. When I stepped into the church 12 and a half years ago at C3 San Diego on a Wednesday night with like 30 people in the room, my heart leapt on the inside of me. I said, this is what I'm going to give my life to. That's what I want you guys to feel right now. That's what we want to happen. And so this series, I believe, make it your mission. Whatever is happening in the next 4 weeks leading up to Easter, I want you to cancel it and just make a commitment to be here, because I promise you, it will change you. It will fill you with faith for the people that you're meant to bring with you on Easter Sunday. The people who are right now at their home, right now at their house, right now doing something that they shouldn't, not liking the life that they're living, in desperate need, wondering who will invite me, wondering will anybody bring me, or they might not even be that far. They might just be saying, you know what? Is there a hope? What is life? And God has put those people in your life for a reason, just like God put you in somebody else's life for a reason. Because if I was to do a poll right now of how many people came because they were invited by somebody, about 90% of the people would lift their hand up because that's just how it goes. And so that's what it's about. This series is to fill us with faith of what God can do so that we go out there and we said we must bring some people, because if God could do this for me, imagine what he's going to do for you. All right, in Jesus' name. Okay, so Mark chapter 5, verse 21. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. The title of this message tonight is Good Friday, Better Sunday. Good Friday, Better Sunday. You know how many things are better on a Sunday? Like, for example, Chick-fil-A. You ever go to Chick-fil-A on a Sunday and just, like, almost depressed when you show up and you actually are in the drive-thru sitting there hoping, just maybe somebody's there, and you just sit. I've done it. I've just sat there, like, hoping, begging. Maybe it's like one of their secret things that they do, and they have one person working. If you go to the drive-thru, somebody will be there. Chick-fil-A is always better on Sunday because you can't have it. The other thing that's always better on Sunday are naps. Anybody ever discovered that naps are always better on a Sunday? Like, for whatever reason it is, you could have slept 12 hours the night before, but a Sunday nap, there's just like, there's nothing like a Sunday nap. And newspapers. I don't know if people get newspapers anymore, and I always wondered why the Sunday newspaper was always 10 times bigger than all the rest of the newspapers. But there's a lot of things that are better on Sunday, but the number one thing that's always better on a Sunday, I believe, is church. I believe there's no place, no thing, nothing you can be a part of or go to, no seminar, no motivational series, nothing that compares to this. Because we give you all the principles that people teach with the power of God connected to it. There's nothing better than Sundays. And so that's what this message is about, is a good Friday, but it's a better Sunday. So in Mark chapter 5, and I'm going to need you to preach with me tonight. Mark chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse 21. It says this: Now when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side, a great multitude gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet and begged him earnestly, saying, My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed, and she will live. So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately the fountain of her blood, immediately the thing that the doctors couldn't help, the doctors couldn't diagnose, the doctors couldn't fix, that nobody else could do, immediately was gone. And she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and said, Who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, You see the multitudes thronging you, and you say, Who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, because if you remember, at the beginning of this passage was all about Jairus and the ruler of the synagogue, and then a woman kind of played in the middle of that story there. And now it picks up, and it says, While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? It's changing the page, sorry. Wrong chapter. When Jesus heard the words that were spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, Do not be afraid, only believe. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, and the brother of James. Then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. It's depressing. When he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? I love Jesus. People are weeping over a granddaughter, a niece, a sister that just died, and Jesus shows up and says, why are you crying? Like, talk about wow. The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. They made fun of him, but when he had put them all outside, when he put them all away from him, there are some people you just got to kick out of your life. Some voices you got to get away from you. There's a crowd. Every single one of us has a crowd. Every single one of us has to push through that thing. Zacchaeus had to go to the crowd and climb up a tree to get Jesus' attention. It was that thing that got the attention of God and changed his entire lineage of his generations because one man just pushed through the crowd. There's some people we have to get out of our life. There's some voices we have to get out of our world. He took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumai, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. They were overcome with great amazement. Let me pray. God, I thank you for what you're going to do in this place over the next few minutes. I thank you, God, that this word is not just going to rest in our minds, but it's going to rest in our heart. I thank you that tonight you're going to awaken some people who walked in here dead, who walked in here messed up, who walked in here depressed, who walked in here anxious, God, who walked in here just with disbelief and with doubt. God, I thank you over the next few minutes that faith is going to be injected into every single one of our lives. God, that you're going to take us where you want us to be. God, I pray for every person who's walking through a valley right now that you're going to take them out of that valley and onto the mountaintop. God, I thank you that this is a day that's going to change so many lives in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. So like I said, it's a good Friday, but a better Sunday. It's a good Friday, but a better Sunday. So I want to talk to you about this story. Not so much about the woman with the issue of blood, but more about this man named Jairus. About the ruler of the synagogue, this man who is in desperate need of God. And what we need to understand about this story is that Jairus, the Bible says, was a ruler. He was in the synagogue. And if you know anything about those times, the rulers of the synagogue, they didn't like Jesus. They didn't like him. They didn't like what he was doing. They didn't like what he was saying because a lot of them were saying what was contrary to what Jesus was saying, what was contrary to what the rulers of the synagogue were saying. But something happens in his life. Something happened where he said, listen, there's an emergency in my world and I have to do something about it. There's an emergency in my world and I can't go to anybody else but Jesus. And so you can understand where he's at this moment. Where he's at is his little girl, the one that he loves so much, the thing that's most precious to him, maybe his only daughter, maybe his only child, is about to die. And the first thing that pops into his mind is, I have to get to Jesus. And the question that we need to ask is why? Why is it? Why, Jairus, did you want to get to Jesus? Because I thought you hated him. I thought you despised him. I thought that you wanted nothing to do with him. I thought that it was almost illegal for you to associate with him. The reason that he went to Jesus, because two chapters before that, Jesus was in a synagogue. He was in a synagogue and Jesus walked up to a man and the man had a withered hand. We know the scripture, we know the story. The man had a withered hand and Jesus says, stretch out your hand. And a man who had never used his hand before stretched his hand out and a miracle took place. And everybody was amazed and everybody was astonished. And I believe at that very same moment, Jairus was looking and observing and said, I've never seen anything like that before. And he pondered it and he didn't say anything about it, but he kept it in his heart. And so weeks later, or months later, when his little girl becomes sick and is about to die, he remembers the miracle that happened in his synagogue. He remembers a moment that took place and he says, I can't do it. I'm supposed to know everything. I'm supposed to have all the answers. I'm supposed to have all the knowledge. I know the Bible back to front. I know everything about the Bible. People come to me when they have questions and when they're worried and when they're anxious and people always ask me. But there's one thing I can't solve. It's amazing how many of us believe we know everything, but yet we can't fix the issue of our life right now. We can't fix the struggle. We can't seem to get out of the pit. We can't seem to get out of the hole. We can't seem to get breakthrough and get a miracle. And I love Jairus because he basically abandons his position to go after to save his daughter. And this man, this ruler of a synagogue who doesn't want to associate with Jesus, runs to him because he believes and he thinks in his mind, I saw Jesus do it before. Maybe he could do it again. Maybe he can do it again. There's some people right now, you're waiting for your miracle, your breakthrough. You're waiting for that child to come back to God. Some of you have people in the hospital right now. We have friends in the hospital right now, believing every day, praying that God is going to have a miracle for their child or for their loved one. All of us have been in that place. And we have nothing, we don't feel like we have anything to stand on. But just like Jairus, Jairus used somebody else's miracle to believe for his. See, you and I right now, I don't know, maybe you've never experienced a miracle. Maybe you've never heard it or seen it before. But I guarantee there are people in here right now who have. And all you got to do is stand on that thing tonight. You got to stand on that miracle. You got to stand on that and say, God, you did it before. I know you can do it again. You're believing for something that seems impossible. Well, just take what has happened in somebody else's life and stand on that. This building was impossible. This was impossible. Stand on that. God, you did it for C3 San Diego. Do it for me. I was praying for a girl at the altar a couple years back. She was believing that she could pursue this job. And she said, I don't know if I have the faith to believe it. And just a couple months before, they had just bought a house that nobody, that everybody said they could never buy. So she's standing at the altar, and I told her, well, God did it then, right? She said, yeah, God did it then. I said, well, then just take that and remind the devil that God did it then. He's going to do it again. I love this man because he sees a miracle, so he runs to Jesus. He runs to Jesus, and the Bible says the ruler of the synagogue, the man with the highest position, prestige, everything, money. People loved him. He had all the wisdom. People almost worshipped him. The Bible says that Jairus runs and falls at the feet of Jesus, worships him, and begs him, Jesus, help me. Help my daughter. Worship team can come up. Help my daughter, help my family. I need you. I'm in desperate need of you. We read that, but then something happens. Jesus says, okay, I'm going to go. And an entire community is following him to this little girl's house. Why? Because they know that Jairus is the ruler of the synagogue. So all of them want to see what has never been seen before. So everybody's around him. Thousands of people maybe at this point are all following Jesus. And then a woman who has nothing to do with Jairus intervenes and stops on the way. On the way to the miracle, Jesus gets distracted. And when Jesus got distracted, Jairus got disappointed. We read it in the story right here. But on the way to the miracle, Jesus stops. And he forgets where he's going and gets somebody else a miracle. Now, what you have to understand is the little girl was dying. This lady had it for 12 years. She wasn't about to die. The little girl was about to die. How many of us come here at this place and we keep hearing miracle after miracle? And at first, it encourages us, right? At first, it fires you up. At first, you're like, man, God, that's amazing. But then, after weeks and weeks of everybody else getting it and not you, of everybody else getting the miracle, getting the great job and the great promotion and the breakthrough and everything great happening in everybody else's life, the same thing that happened to Jairus happens to you. You make that confession, Jesus, you must have got distracted because I thought you were on the way to my miracle. I thought you were on the way to my breakthrough. I thought you were coming to help me, but on the way he gets distracted and Jairus gets disappointed, and so many of us right now are disappointed. We refuse to lift our hand up in the book of miracle time. We refuse to believe. We refuse to walk to the altar. We refuse to bring anybody. We refuse, and we're stuck in this place because of a thing called disappointment. Because we think that Jesus forgot. We think that our need just isn't that great. That he just must not care. And we affirm everything that's been told to us about who God is and his character. Because on the way, he got distracted. And we're living in that place of disappointment, that place of, I don't think God can do it. And we make that confession, God, well, what about me? And And we go from being that person filled with faith to that person who's now a victim, who doesn't think that God can do it anymore, that God can bring a breakthrough anymore, that God can do a miracle in our life. And we'll sit to church now. It doesn't get us out of church. We still come and we still show up. But we have no faith believing. So many of us are so used to that place that we live in, we stop praying for it. Because it becomes so routine for us. It's just a way of life. And we'll pray and believe for everybody else. But we forgot about our thing. Because on the way to you, the devil wants to tell you that Jesus just got distracted. And that he doesn't care. We preach stories about when Jesus stopped for Zacchaeus and when Jesus stopped for this woman with the issue of blood. We preach stories of all the miracles that Jesus did. But what about the stories where it seems like Jesus forgot? What about the stories where it seems like all is lost and there's no hope? And that's the story of Jairus. Now, I don't know if you have kids. I have kids, and I can't imagine if my little girl's about to die, and on the way to a miracle, somebody stops. Somebody stops who could heal, who had the solution, who had the cure, and they stop even though my little girl is about to die, and they try to help somebody else out. Imagine how frustrating and how hurt. Don't you know I just risked everything? God, listen, I'm going to lift my hands. I've never done it before, but I'm going to lift my hands, and I'm going to believe that you can do something great in my life. And then he doesn't, and we make that assumption on the inside of us. See, I told you you don't care. See, I told you there's no point. See, I told you that you can't do anything. See, my parents were right. And my friends were right that there is no real power. See, you forgot about me. I went out of my way. I exposed myself just like Jairus did. Imagine what is going through his mind at this moment. Everybody is around for him. He's about to get his miracle, and then disappointment comes. And everything stops in his world. And we'll say, but I believed, I sacrificed, I gave, I did what I should. But God, where is my miracle? Where is the breakthrough? Where is what you promised? You told me you were coming. And nothing. And it's at that moment, the wrong voices always show up. It's at that moment that Jairus' friends show up. And you got to listen to this. They show up in a crowd of thousands, and they come to Jairus, their master, and they say, hey, don't bother the teacher anymore. And I look at that because just a couple verses before that, their master Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, ran to the feet of Jesus and fell on his face and said, please, if you can do anything, help me. Because to Jairus, he was Lord. But as soon as disappointment comes, Jesus went from Lord to just a teacher. They show up. Why bother the teacher? So the question is this to you. Has he become just a good teacher? Has he become just great, something to do on a Sunday? Has it just become a religious routine? Has it just become just another thing? Well, I practice many religions, and Christianity is one of them. The reason people say that is because Jesus is just a good teacher to them. He's just got great things to say. How many of us tonight, if we were to be honest with ourselves, have lowercase the G in God by limiting what he can do because we think that he got distracted? Our mistake is thinking that he forgot. Our mistake is thinking that he got distracted. Our mistake is thinking that God cares more about the person sitting next to you than he does about you. But because of our human nature and because of the wrong voices in our mind who told us, don't bother the good teacher. See, they elbow you. See, I told you Jesus wouldn't do anything. I told you he wasn't great. I told you he was just a good teacher. I told you he was just another man. I told you he was just somebody with great things to say. I told you he wasn't the Son of God. See, I told you he's just a teacher. And the more negative voices we have in our life, the more we slowly forget what we came to in the first place. And we no longer go after our miracle and our breakthrough because of the people in our world. And we have to silence them. So has he become that good teacher? And what we end up doing is our negative words take Jesus off the throne. Our negative words make him from uppercase to lowercase. And the people around us. And we see this moment. Now here's where it all comes together. You guys ready? What all comes together is in this moment when the wrong people show up. Thousands of people. Man, I bet you couldn't even hear yourself think at this moment. They just saw a woman who they probably knew get healed after 12 years of struggle. Get healed on the spot. Everybody's talking. Everybody's making noise. And at that very moment, a couple guys come in the crowd of 1,000 and they say, "Don't bother the teacher." And I bet they just went up to their master and said, "Hey, come with us. Don't bother him anymore. Listen, your daughter, she's dead." In the crowd of thousands, the Bible says, as they say it, Jesus stops. He stops and he turns. Because in a crowd of thousands, he can hear doubt. In the crowd of thousands, in the middle of a miracle, their doubts silence the faith. And it was that got him to turn. And Jesus stops at this moment when Jairus thinks that all hope is lost, and he stops and he turns and he says, "Jairus, don't listen, because what you thought was dead is not dead. What you thought was gone is not gone." He says, "Don't doubt, only believe. Only believe. Only believe. Whatever it is that you're facing right now, whatever it is that you're walking through right now, whatever it is that is in front of you that seems impossible, whatever it is right now that somebody told you was dead, it is time for our faith to rise up, to get the wrong voices out of our head and to step into what God says, because God just turned in the voice of doubt. God just turned towards you and he says, don't listen to him. Don't listen to those voices. Don't listen to those negative reports telling you that you're not going to make it. Jesus says, don't listen, only believe. Only believe. Only hope. Only trust. Only have faith." And everything shifts and everything changes at that moment. And he walks and he turns. And after he thought the opportunity had left, Jesus brings hope back. In an atmosphere of doubt, Jesus changes the atmosphere. In an atmosphere of death, Jesus shifts everything. Now, what you have to understand, and this is the whole point of the story and the title of the message, is this. When Jesus turned to Jairus and said, "Jairus, you have to understand that I don't want you to have doubt. I want you to only believe." What he was saying was that, "Jairus, your daughter might be dead, but I'm still alive. What's most precious to you might seem gone, but I'm still here." The reason that's so powerful, because a lot of us put Jesus on the cross. And if we were to be honest, he's still there. We stopped at the cross because that's what we were taught to believe. That the cross brought us forgiveness. And that was the end of it. But that was the Good Friday. So what we have to understand is that the cross can bring us forgiveness, but it's the resurrection that brings us power. See, Jesus said, "Listen, don't doubt, only believe." It is time for our faith to rise up tonight, for you to get to that place where you only believe, because what you had might be dead, but the good news is he still lives. He's still here. He's still alive. He's not done. He's on his way to your miracle. He's on the way to bring you breakthrough. It is not done yet. He's trying to remind you and get something in our mind today. Don't stop at the cross. Don't leave him up there. When we keep him on the cross, that's when he becomes teacher. And a whole life is based around it. Because when he goes from just being on the cross to being resurrected, it has to change how we live. It has to change how you believe. It has to change how you act. It's a better Sunday because he still lives. Any person could have died, but only one person could still live. That's the difference. That's the difference between everything else you have tried. That's the difference between everything else you have believed. That's the difference between every other night but tonight, is you have still thought Jesus is only on the cross. But tonight everything can change, because he's not like Buddha, he's not like Confucius, he's not like any of those other gods that are still dead. No, he resurrected and he lives right now. And he needs you to understand, just like the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, he's trying to get you and say, no, 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 only believe. You thought I got distracted. I didn't get distracted. I didn't forget about you. He didn't forget about your miracle. He didn't forget about your prayer. He didn't forget about that thing that keeps you up at night. No, he's on the way. And listen, it doesn't matter if it dies. It doesn't matter if it's been gone for years, because he still lives. And while he still lives and while he still reigns, there is still hope. There is still an opportunity. There is still a moment where your life can change in an instant, because he's on the way. He's on the way. This is the moment you've been waiting for. This is where your life can change. It was the weekend that changed the world, not just because he died, but more so because he lives. The cross is our symbol of Easter. But I think if Jesus was here, he would tell you, don't let it stop there. That wasn't the point. The cross brought you forgiveness. The resurrection brings you power, brings you life, and life more abundantly. The cross gave you eternity, but the resurrection brought you proof. How do I know? Why am I so convinced? Because he's alive. And because I've seen too many people who struggled for so many years in disappointment and in hardship, who got their miracle, to believe that he's just some lowercase g God, just some teacher, just some other person. He's too good to believe that, because he lives. And when that revelation happens on the inside of us, everything will change. Everything will change for you. Everything will change for your family. Everything will change for our city. Everything will change for our business. Everything will change when we believe that it was a good Friday, but a better Sunday. Come on, stand to our feet tonight. I believe that's what God wants to get in our heart here. Reason being is because when that goes from our head to our heart, it changes what we do. It changes how we bring. It changes how we invite. Because like I said before, there are thousands of people around this campus who have still got God on the cross, who have still got him in that place, who stopped at forgiveness but never moved into power. And that's what we have to first experience in our life, so we can take other people through that journey. Everything changed for that ruler of the synagogue, the man of position, because Jesus stepped into his world. And that's what he wants to do right now. He wants to step into your world and remind you that he's still alive, that he's still here, that he's still for you, that he's with you. So I want to do this. If you're in here tonight and you're believing, or you want to believe for a miracle, you've been disappointed, you've been let down, you feel forgotten. Some of you, it's going to take a little bit to stir that up, to remember what you believe for in the first place. For some of you, it's been years. It's been a long time and you've forgotten how good God is. You stop worshiping and believing and doing what you should do because of disappointment along the way. Now, some of the hands went up in the Book of Miracles, but I believe there's more people tonight. And you want to be like Jairus, who just stayed with Jesus, who refused to let Jesus just be a teacher, who refused to let Jesus just be another one, just another person, just another God. But the man with all the position and all the power fell at the feet of Jesus. He said, if you can do anything. So come on, if that's you right now, I just want you to lift your hands up and say, that's me. Come on, I'm believing right now. God can do something. In Jesus' name. Come on, just with your hands lifted, I know there's some more people. You need to respond to that. God is for you. He's not done with you. This is the moment, your opportunity. We're going to sing this song right now. We're going to worship. And as we do, I want you, if your hand is lifted and you're believing still that God is not done with your life, that God is not finished yet, you're believing that resurrection is going to come. You're believing that it was a good Friday, but it's a better Sunday. You believe that just like that girl, no, she's not dead. She's just sleeping. Your dream is not dead. That vision is not dead. Your hope is not dead. It might have been dormant, but it's about to be woken right now. God's about to wake that thing up. He's about to resurrect that thing. And as we worship, I want you, if you lift your hand, just to come forward to the altar. And we're going to believe that right now, God is going to stir faith on the inside of you again. He's going to stir hope on the inside of you again. That tonight everything is going to change. That tonight everything is going to shift. That this is the moment that you've been waiting for, believing for, searching for.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.